This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
All right, so let's get into what happened last night. Florida State, Duke.
Right.
I had some questions about what kind of start Duke could get off to. They were slow at BC. They were slow at North Carolina.
Right.
It's 11-2 last night, Wes. Blue Devils are jumped all over Florida State. The Noles couldn't throw it in the ocean for a while, and then they got back into the game. I was impressed that Duke basically set the tone of the game last night after what they went through 48 hours earlier.
Yeah, and I think that nobody should be surprised that if Duke was going to win last night, they were going to do it behind Trey Jones. I mean, look, you have to have, and we talked on and off, you're probably sick of me talking about leadership qualities and the leadership component. Jones is the bona fide, clear leader of the Duke team. And when Duke plays well, typically Trey Jones may not play well from a statistical standpoint, but will play well from a leadership standpoint. I thought that was readily evident on Saturday night from a stat line. But what he did last night was get everybody going and lead Duke. And Coach K's best teams, the leadership principle is a valued one. And I think Jones has clearly stepped up here in the last couple of weeks when I think at times it's been questioned. And he became the bona fide leader of the Blue Devils. And last night, they win the game part and parcel because of that. I also think, too, Florida State played tight. Florida State played tight in the first 10 minutes last night.
I was surprised.
So was I. And I think Leonard Hamilton was, too. And I thought his comment to Allison Williams going to the locker room at the break, referring to them not getting great shots and doing things like that, was also reflective of that. Maybe that little bit of anxiousness. I thought they missed some easy shots last night. I thought they gave the ball away in transition a couple times when they had advantages, things like that. So, yeah, great win for Duke, no doubt about it. Blue Devils now clearly behind Louisville. But I'll tell you that the next big winner last night behind Duke was Louisville because Louisville's got the advantage. Louisville's already beaten Duke. It's the only time they're playing this year, right? I mean, it's an advantage, and there ain't no getting around it from that standpoint.
Really gutsy win for Duke. You know, you're coming off the emotion of what Saturday was all about. We talked about that ad nauseum yesterday.
Right.
And Florida State had to play Miami, too, which is a rival, and they put 99 on the board. But still, I thought Duke was going to have to reach down deep. And when that thing was tied up with 11, 12 minutes to go in the game, that's when you really find out what your team's all about.
Yep.
Right. And again, Vernon Carey wasn't great last night, despite the double-double. He was kind of quiet for him. But I just thought that Duke, that was just one of those, hey, we're just going to tough this thing out. And I know Coach K afterwards talked about how much he loved his guys and his kids, and it was really his kind of game, right? It was just a mentally tough, we're going to grind this thing out and win this thing. And Florida State did not shoot the ball well when you couldn't throw it in from beyond the arc. And again, I thought they were kind of out of character a little bit.
Right.
But give Duke credit for that too, because the defense they played, again, the defense on both sides are out of sight. But it was a weird game, Wes. And I don't know if it was just because of Saturday's bizarreness of Chapel Hill and the noise and the back and forth. It seemed a little flat for me last night, given the fact that those are two top 10 teams.
Right.
Seven taking on eight. These are really good teams now, right? And we're not trying to downplay anything. But I don't know if it was the television or whatever it was, but it seemed like the crowd was a little flat. I'm not sure everybody had their legs last night.
I thought in the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was kind of a sloppy easy passes look hard. It looked like you and I in a pickup game that, hey, nobody has hands or graffiti or anything else. And,
right.
You were just kind of grinding your way through that thing. But I think Mike Krzyzewski's background from Army, the whole routine, that was his kind of, hey, don't tell me it wasn't pretty. It was beautiful because my kids were so tough last night down the stretch. And but like you said, I didn't think Florida State was necessarily dialed in either last night. But these are two really good teams, certainly good enough to get to Atlanta and win a Final Four and all that good stuff. But the Duke last night down the stretch was better than Florida State.
Yeah, I thought they were too, and I thought Duke deserved to win. It was a game of attrition in some respects and of unforced errors. I thought, especially in the first 10 minutes or so last night, I didn't think Florida State was particularly effective in that part of the ball game right there. Trent Forrest was sensational now defensively.
8 steals.
Yeah, I mean, he was sensational. But at the end of the game, Duke made the plays and Florida State didn't. You know, and guess what? Free throws came into play again, too.
Boy, how many times have we talked about that? It doesn't matter if you're a lower glob or one of the elite in this league.
Unbelievable, isn't
it? The ability to make free throws, yeah. And it's been true for 100 years. You got to be able to close games by making shots from the line. And
look at that right there.
You know, when you go 12 of 20 from the line in a close game, you got my problem. I got news for you. And I know people are going to scream about the refs. They always do. But, man, you got to make free throws. You just got to make free throws.
Yeah, but look at the two teams that have played Duke. 57% in the two games.
Get you beat. You missed 25 free throws in two games that were determined by 2 and 5 points respectively. And you give away 25 points on the line?
You're going to lose.
You will lose.
Yep.
I really like your chances to take an L under that situation. at all times. I don't care what we're doing.
Exactly right. Couldn't agree with you more. And the advantage last night that Duke gains from the win is that they're now 11-2 behind Louisville, who's obviously at 12-1. Remember now, Louisville's got the tiebreaker. So Louisville could lose again and still win the regular season or be the top seed. They'd be the co-champs of the regular season, whatever the case may be. We got a long way to go. I understand that. Just pointing out that the second biggest winner last night was Louisville, because if Florida State won the game, then Louisville would have lost the tie-breaking advantage, at least for the time being. So we'll see what happens, but entertaining ball game, interesting game, not a clean game, not a great game, but one that late – you were looking at possessions. You were looking at the way the ball was getting handled and, you know, things of that nature. I didn't think that there were times last night where I thought Jordan Goldwire, and this is the thing about
so
Duke.
Good.
He was good last night and he scored it last night. Mm-hmm. Jordan Goldwire's number one mission is come off the bench, give him 7 minutes of really good energy, especially at the defensive end of the floor. Maybe take the best offensive player on the opposing team on the perimeter. Last night he comes on the floor, starts knocking down shots. Matthew Hurt knocked down shots last night. Those kind of things last night work for Duke coming off the high and the win in Chapel Hill on Saturday night. You know, we'll see where it gets them, you know, maybe later in the week. How does that affect them? I don't know. I mean, I think everything, you know, they get Notre Dame at home on Saturday afternoon at 4:00. Irish play tonight at Virginia. What a week it is for Mike Bray. But I think Duke showed you last night that depth that I'll go back to New Year's Eve when Jordan Cornette and I were sitting there watching the Boston College game, and he's talking about the value of their bench. And last night, guess what? The value of the bench showed up. And I give Coach K and his staff a lot of credit for re-energizing kind of the way they won that ball game last night.
Leonard Hamilton will watch tape of this game and realize outside the paint, his team was 6 of 33.
Yeah.
They won't go 6 of 33 again in another game this year. Again, you give Duke's defense credit in that department, but the ability, or in this case, the inability to make a shot, a mid-range jumper, forget right. The three, was critical. I mean, it really was critical. And I thought you mentioned Goldwire. I thought he was the catalyst last night. He plays great defense at all times. Not only did he harass Cole Anthony on Saturday, he did a great job, I thought, last night. But like you said, when he gives you a 5 from 5 from the field, that's like stealing
If
you're Mike Krzyzewski looking at the score sheet.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. We probably should have talked about this yesterday.
You mean we didn't?
No, we didn't. We should have brought this up, though.
The infamous ACC index card?
No. Duke at Duke MBB stats on Twitter last night. In the game following Carolina, Duke has now won 11 straight and 15 of the last 16. Which win or lose in Chapel Hill, 15 straight, or 15 of 16, 11 straight.
One word for that, coaching. That is great coaching. You know, when Kay was on with us last week,
right,
and he kind of preached to us a little bit about, hey, you know what, every game's important. You know, and I know a lot of people probably rolled their eyes and like, oh, come on, man, North Carolina's more important. And his point was, hey, if you're going to be a great team, you're going to be an elite team, you know what? Every team you play,
right,
you got to be ready to go. And that stat that you just rattled off just goes to show you the importance that while North Carolina Duke's a humongous game for all of us idiots that sit back and want to be entertained by the best rivalry in sports, the next game is equally important.
No question.
And that goes right back to what he tried to tell us last week and what he's been preaching for 40-some-odd years, that Duke is ready to play in the next game, regardless of who that may be.
Yeah.
No matter how many eggs you may think are in the basket, when light blue and dark blue get together, they'll be ready to go for the next one. And the 11-2 start, I think, was also indicative of that. After a week of really slow starts against BC and North Carolina, and Duke was ready to roll last night.
Now, Javon Delaurier is the senior leader of the Blue Devils. He's one of those captains, I think, with Jack White on this year's team. He said, quote, after the game, good teams win that game on Saturday and lose on Monday. Great teams win both. Now, I'm willing to wager a small amount. Couple shackles here that might have been the message from the head basketball coach. If you want to be a great team, you got to find a way to win the ball game Monday.
Mm-hmm. I think even his K's comments after the game, like I said, how much he loved that win because that was just, like I said, it was a gut check. Hey, it's tied up 11, 12 minutes ago. You have no idea who's going to win a game.
Right.
You know both teams are tired, Duke in particular, after what they went through Saturday, even more stressed than what Florida State had to go through. And they just kind of willed themselves through that one. That was just one of those that, you know, Vernon Carey wasn't great last night despite 10-10, but he was kind of quiet for what Vernon Carey's been doing to people for the last month. And Goldwire comes off the bench and does his deal. And again, these are two really, really good clubs that would not surprise me if they're going to see each other again.
Mike, like Greensboro?
Yeah.
Maybe other places?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me at all.
I'm not surprised either. By the way, Florida State will host Syracuse on Saturday at 12 noon as well.
Two interesting games for both of them this weekend. With Notre Dame, obviously, this is a huge week for Mike Bray. They've got Virginia tonight.
Yep.
Or a place where they've never won in Charlottesville. So this is a huge week for Notre Dame in terms of, hey, do they throw their name into the mix as far as an NCAA tournament bid with both Virginia and Duke this week? And as you mentioned, Florida State, Syracuse, a big week for Syracuse with NC State tonight at the Dome. So we'll get into the upper glob matchups, which we've got going on tonight. By the way, before we take a break.
Upper glob.
And I I'm the first person to always preach this about don't yell about the officials and everything else. Because I don't think the officials had anything to do with the game last night. But I did not personally understand the call late.
The one on Trent Forrest?
Yeah, I didn't understand the call.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm saying that as a fan.
Okay.
Right? I didn't get it. Here's the play I'm talking about.
And watch this was Matthew Hurt and Trent Forrest right
that,
there.
That, I'm sorry. That's a foul on who again?
That's a foul on Forrest. Keith Kimball says that Forrest is in the cylinder.
I don't believe that. I'm not an official. I'm not sitting here pointing fingers. I just thought that was just a bad call.
I think that the angle, Keith, where he blows the whistle from right here is, wow, yeah.
That's a bad call.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Just saying. Now, officials may scream at me. The ACC office may scream at me, and that's fine. But as a fan watching that game last night, if you would have stopped.
You didn't understand the call.
I didn't understand the call.
Right.
And if you would have stopped the tape and said, all right, Pac, you make the call, based on what it really turned out to be, I'd have been 1,000,000,000% wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Because it looked like Matthew Hurt stepped into Trent Forrest.
I mean, either swallow the whistle, it's a walk, but I don't think that was a foul on Florida State.
Right.
My opinion.
Well done. I don't think anybody will be upset with you.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Well, if they are, we'll pass it along to him.
Rolls right off the shoulders, Wes. You know, it's not like I haven't been wrong before. No big deal.
All right.
Just the way it is.
You said a moment ago, Globby Tuesday.
It is a great glob night. We have, you know why? Tuesday. Because it's an upper, we have a lower glob in Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
And then we have the four upper glob teams playing each other tonight. So it is an upper glob ACC kind of night. And I like games like the ones we have tonight. I do.
Every time we talk about globs, I start thinking of like the old Nickelodeon network and globs and, you know, stuff like that.
Something going to come flying.
No, I don't think so, but yeah.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Duke with a gutsy win last night, knocking off Florida State. But we have a glob night tonight, Wes Durham. Upper glob, the four teams that desperately need to win games go face-to-face in Charlottesville and Syracuse, respectively.
We're going to start. By the way, these are conveniently scheduled for you, the viewer, tonight. 7 o'clock on ESPN2, 8 o'clock on ACC Network, 9 o'clock on ESPN2. Don't you like the way that works?
I like the games tonight.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, just settle right in after dinner and shoot. 4 hours,
right after SiriusXM Radio. Walk upstairs and get a bologna sandwich and watch us some ACC hoops.
That's it. 7 o'clock tonight. Dan Shulman, John Crispin, Brooke Weisbrod will be at the Dome in Central New York. NC State at Syracuse. Go ahead, get your glob on this one, Pac.
Upper glob. Kevin Keats has never lost to the Orange. How about that? Kevin Keats 2-0 against the Orange. Since he's rolled into Raleigh.
Wow.
This is such a critical game. And it's not so much for the winner, but the loser, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the deal on the upper glob games tonight. The guys that win, you kind of go, okay, good. You're supposed to. If you lose, man, you just can't afford an L if you're either one of these NC State, Syracuse, or Notre Dame, Virginia.
I would say this tonight, because they are the home team, the onus is on the Orange and the Cavaliers, not only to stay connected in that tie for fourth, but also because it's a home game. And you don't want to have to, you know, the way the year's going in the ACC, you have no idea what's going to happen when you get on the road. But I would say this, you probably ought to go ahead and protect home floor as much as possible tonight if you're Virginia or Syracuse.
It's getting late, Wes.
It is getting late.
I mean, this is no longer early January where you're like, well, you can afford, if you're going to stub your toe, you can stub it.
Second half of the ACC.
Hey, it's middle of February.
Yeah.
We're 3-4 weeks away from tournament getting cranked up, and you kind of know the identity of these teams now. And for NC State, you've been kind of Jekyll and Hyde, 3-3 on the road this year in league play. There's times they look great. There's times they can't throw it in the ocean. Syracuse, for the most part, has been playing good basketball here of late.
Right.
Both of these teams have the potential to score. That's why the upside of this game can really be fun tonight, especially guys are making shots.
Yep.
We had Elijah Hughes on the program yesterday. This is a really, really critical game in the upper glob.
You know what the real question is here tonight, Pac?
Lay it on me.
Can NC State have nice things?
Well, you can't have nice things, but you got to win games. It's like NC State wrestling. You know why you got nice things? Because you win. You know why NC State basketball right now doesn't have nice things? Because you haven't been consistently good at winning. Huge. It's a huge game. Same thing in Charlottesville tonight. Same deal.
Okay. All right. You mentioned lower glob game of the night.
Oh, there's only one lower glob, and it's definitely a lower glob.
Carolina Wake Forest.
Yeah. Curious to see, how does North Carolina respond after the absolute gut-wrenching loss to Duke? Wake Forest has shown signs at times.
Yes.
Tough loss on the road to Syracuse where they battle back from 16 down, take the lead, and let that thing get away from them. Mm-hmm. North Carolina has basically owned the Deacs. They've beaten them 6 straight, but it is, from my understanding, a pink game tonight in Winston.
Huh.
And I will just say, the Demon Deacs have won their last 5 pink games.
Okay.
All right? It's a tobacco road special. Both teams having disappointing years, needless to say. Kind of expected it with Wake in some regards. Did not expect it with North Carolina. Just want to see how North Carolina reacts from Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, do they just kind of come out and they're flat, Deacs sky high, or does North Carolina show a little want to, because I thought they played their best game of the year Saturday night?
Yeah, I need to double check this. We had been told early that this was the, this was going to be the, 25 year anniversary of the 1995 ACC championship team. That they were going to have the former players back, Dave Odom, obviously, those type folks, in addition to all the other things. So I want to double check on that, but that's what I'd been told. If that's the case, the emotions will be running high because that's who they care. They beat Carolina.
But normally, Wake is excited to see North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Normally. Yeah. I don't care what the sport is. It's a tobacco road special.
Correct. Correct.
Does North Carolina show you some emotion tonight? Or do you think North Carolina's flat?
I think Carolina, you know what? Like Florida State last night, I think first 10 minutes tonight are very, very important.
Yeah, that's
Carolina.
What I'm asking. I
think
don't know
Carolina
what you're
plays
get.
Hard. Now, no Brandon Robinson. Was it a Duke thing, right? I'll say this, Olivier Saar and Garrison Brooks. Olivier Saar is a very, very good big.
Mm-hmm.
and Brandon Childress and Cole Anthony.
They can light it up.
That'll be good.
Sure.
But how'd they handle Shaundy Brown? See, to me, when Shaundy Brown's back healthy, he's an X factor to Wake Forest. And they get other guys too. I mean, look, Musius is a good player. Masood hit a huge three the other night. I mean, let's see what Wake Forest does here. Let's see how Carolina defends Wake Forest.
I enjoyed watching North Carolina run Saturday for the first time. That looked like a North Carolina basketball team.
Well, that crowd tonight wants to run.
No,
Wake.
I know that. And so I want to see what does North Carolina give me tonight, given the fact they had another additional 24 hours to kind of rejuice and recharge,
right,
as opposed to what Duke had to go through last night taking on Florida State on short notice with 48 hours in between. But, again, it's a lower glob game, and this is the 1-2, right? Who wants to play some basketball tonight?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Then the late game.
Upper glob.
The late game tonight after at the 9 o'clock start is at JPJ in Charlottesville, and that's Notre Dame in Virginia. So
Notre Dame has never won in Charlottesville.
Oh, boy.
Never won. They're 8.
Well, BPI didn't think they'll win tonight.
Well, I'm not worried about BPI. I'm just giving you the fact.
I was just telling you.
Well, BPI is a crystal ball. I'm giving you a fact. Notre Dame has never won in Charlottesville.
Right.
Now, this is a big week for Mike Bray. You did the game Sunday night.
Yep.
In which that game was tight late. They pulled away, made shots. They've been playing with a ton of confidence. They're shooting the ball well. It's a huge week for Notre Dame in terms of getting back into the conversation. If they can win at Virginia, and then they get Duke this upcoming weekend. Yep. I mean, this is really it.
Yep.
They play 3 road games in the span of a week. And it's really kind of due time for Notre Dame. If they're going to make the run, this is it.
I thought that Prentice Hubb was quiet the other night on the road for Notre Dame. And that's a rarity because he's a road killer for Mike Bray's team. You know what you're getting out of John Mooney. You're going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 15, 16 points and 10, 12 rebounds, even against a Virginia team. Notre Dame shoots it well. Remember when we started talking about Notre Dame being a potential dark horse in Greensboro at the tournament? Well, tonight's a really good test to see if Notre Dame's got that kind of thump to them. Can they go to Charlottesville and shoot it well from the perimeter? Because Virginia's going to give you looks now. If you get against the pack line and you cut the seam and kick, you're going to have the opportunity to knock down threes.
Here's a question I got for you. Is Virginia fresh off their first plus 70 performance at Louisville? Do we go back to same old Virginia where, hey, the game's in the 50s? Or are you going to give me a Virginia team that's got some offensive confidence who can score? Because Notre Dame will get up and down the floor.
Yeah, right. But Notre Dame, come on now. I mean,
I'm not telling you it's going to be 75-70. I'm just asking, do you think Virginia gives you a little punch on the offensive side?
Well, I've been told that the over-under tonight's like 122.
Whatever.
In a perfect world, you would say that, you know, Notre Dame, the way they run up and down the floor, there's no way 122. But that being said, Virginia is going to defend. How the temperament of the game gets played may be something else. I will say this, 70 was bought on by Kihei Clark and Thomas Walden Tensai the other day.
Yeah, but Louisville put a 44 spot on Virginia in the first half.
Right.
Saturday. Yeah. And really, I mean, Louisville's really good. But you'd never expect 44 points to be given up by Virginia, period, in a half.
Let alone a game.
There have been games where they've said, hey, Syracuse, there's 34. Clemson, there's 44. Virginia Tech, there's 39.
I don't think either team hits 70 tonight.
Okay. You're probably right.
I think this game gets very, very interesting.
Low 60s, though?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no question. It's crazy.
Two upper glob. The four teams that we've been talking about, can and who will make an NCAA tournament bid? Virginia, NC State, Syracuse, Notre Dame. Those are the four.
For two spots.
For maybe one spot. Who knows? Maybe, you know, we'll see. No more than two. But those are the four teams. Those are the four right now, Wes. And tonight, they all see each other. Upper glob games. Good stuff.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
A number of guests today, Wes Durham. A number of guests.
Yeah, Luke Hancock going to join us here later in the show. Wes Moore, one of our favorites, the head women's coach of NC State. Big ball game with Louisville on Thursday night here on ACC Network. And then Malik Williams of Louisville, from Fort Wayne, Indiana, going to come in here and hang out with us for a little bit.
Yeah. The guy that's going to join us next, though, had quite a weekend.
I'd say.
Big time.
Pretty good week.
Yeah. Player of the week.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
Justin Champagne of Pittsburgh went for a career-high 30 on Saturday against Georgia Tech in an important home win for Jeff Capel's team. And Pac started the interview the right way yesterday. When we visited with Justin, he said, just how big was that basket on Saturday?
It was pretty big. It meant a lot to me, and I'm just happy we got the W.
When you get in a zone like that, and we always hear about that as outsiders, but as a player gets in the zone, what do you see? What do you hear? What's it feel like?
I mean, it feels good. It just feels like you're flowing and everything's going your way. And you just got to just keep going and like nothing's going to stop you.
Do you hear the crowd, Justin?
Yeah, I hear them a lot. You know, they're big energy, kind of like a big energy crowd. And it fuels me and gives me more energy to play.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought it was a big win for you guys because I know the ball game at Notre Dame was disappointing. And now you're in a situation where you go and have a big ball game like that, and it almost just keeps you alive, doesn't it? I mean, in terms of what you guys want to get done this season.
Yeah, it's like a big confidence booster for us as a team. You know, we lost Notre Dame, but coming back and getting this W at home means a lot. And it's just like a big confidence booster going into the next game against Clemson.
Coach was bragging about the dirty work. You know, we always sit here talking about making shots and points and all that kind of stuff. What do you get more satisfaction out of?
You know, just like the effort plays, like a play that I get the crowd going and get like my teammates going, like that's like a big thing for me. Like I feel like I could feed off that and everybody could feed off that.
Would you say that you get the dirty stuff too? Justin, I mean, I know you can score it, but you and Audis Tony strike me as guys for Pittsburgh that kind of get down and dirty around the rim, scramble for the loose ball, the hard guard, those type things.
Yeah, coach always tells us that we guys got to be our identity is just to go out there and just do all the dirty work. So we just try and crash the boards and get on the floor.
So as you sit here now, 3-4 weeks to go in the regular season. You guys have kind of played yourself from a lower-tier ACC team to a middle-tier ACC team. What are your expectations with really a month to go in the regular season?
I mean, we're just going to try and make a push, you know, and just try and get our rankings up and try and make a tournament because we feel like we're a good team and just that we're just going to try and just finish it out the right way.
You know, it's interesting. You got involved in this process right after Jeff Capel took the job, I think. There, you were one of the early targets in the recruiting game. They locked in on you. You kind of bought in before really the product emerged a year ago. What's it mean to kind of be involved in this resurgence of Pittsburgh basketball?
I mean, it feels really good to know that I'm a part of a program that's rebuilding and I have like an impact on helping the program rebuild. So it feels really good. I believe in coach. I believe in anything we got going on here. I just feel like we're going to just turn the program back around.
What was the turning point for you, Justin? Why was Pitt the right fit for you? Because you could have gone anywhere, man.
I mean, I came on my visit with my family. I just felt like it was home. Like, I believed in everything that the coaches was telling me. They're honest people. I just believed in, like, we were going to turn the whole program back around.
Tell you what else has been revitalized, and that's your home crowd.
Yeah.
The zoo is a zoo. What's it like playing in that joint?
It's really, like, exhilarating. Like, you get a lot of energy from them. Like, they're always, day in, day out, they bring energy. And it's just, like, a great feeling. You know, you got people behind you that really, like, believe that you can win and believe that you're good.
So, I know you grew up in New York. Your dad played soccer at St. John's. You got a twin brother playing basketball there now. So transitioning from New York to Pittsburgh, I mean, New York guys, now that's a bit of a move. Pittsburgh's a tough city. What have you enjoyed most about being there?
I just feel like the people here are more nicer than they are in New York. You know, everybody in New York got attitude. But it feels like home for the most part, like a mini city compared to New York. I just really like it here. You know, it feels like home.
Have you settled into the food? What kind of food are you getting there? You like it?
No. I still get like New York food that they have out here. I don't change my way.
Wait a minute. What would be,
you gotta go to Permane Brothers, right? You gotta go to Permane Brothers.
Pittsburgh's a good food town.
Pittsburgh's a good food city, right? Come on.
I just eat pizza.
All right. So what's the go-to
for pizza? What's the go-to pizza in Pittsburgh?
No, I just get regular pizza. It's down the block.
No, wait a minute. I mean, obviously you want New York style, thin,
right?
Breezy,
yeah.
with the fold, right? I get that part. But you got to have a place, though, that's your go-to.
Oh, it's a place called Antunes. It's like down the block from our apartment.
Oh, really? Okay.
And has it reached the point where you walk in and they were already got it waiting for you? That you're there that often? Yeah.
Oh, right. See, now we go. That's what I'm talking about. So, all right, I said you had a twin brother. What were those basketball games like? Because he's playing at St. John's, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were really good, you know, playing with him. I just felt like I always had somebody in the court I could always go to and, like, a family member where I could just, like, play around with. But it's been a little difficult transitioning, like, to get away from him. But it's been a good process so far. I feel like we're making names for ourselves, and it's just good for, like, our both, like, individual development.
Do you guys talk every day?
Every day.
Yeah. So this has not been, that's probably not been as easy as maybe you would anticipate, huh?
Yeah, nah, it's been kind of rough, like, not being able to, like, be around him and just, like, physically see him and talk to him. But, I mean, FaceTime's going to have to do for now.
You've got the reputation of being a real student of the game. Who do you like to study?
I like LeBron James. I just feel like he does everything on the court. Like, he picks apart the defense and, like, the other team. So I just try and look at his game and just try and, like, pick apart certain things.
What trait would you like to incorporate from LeBron?
His leadership. I feel like he's a good leader on the court. I just feel like in order to be a good player, you got to be, like, have some kind of leadership in you to, like, lead your team to win and stuff like that.
You know, the first thing a lot of people think about, Justin, is the guards with X and Trey McGowan's. And now all of a sudden, they're guys around them. A year ago, you know, they were so reliant on their success for Pittsburgh's ultimate success. I know they drive a lot of it, but you guys are really, really developing into a nice unit here. What's that been like? I mean, has that been something that focused on the trip I know you guys had this summer? I certainly hope that played a part of it. But now that you've gotten into conference play, what's been the big differential for you guys?
Yeah, Coach always tells us that, like, because how they played last year, people are going to key up on those two. So they were just like, you got to be ready to knock down shots and just play off of them and, like, give them, like, a break, basically, because everybody's keying up. They know they're going to drive. So just try and just be there for them and help them out on the offensive end.
Justin, who's been the best team you've played?
I would want to say Louisville, I think, was the best team we played.
Why?
I just feel like at Louisville, at their house, it was kind of hard because they were just so poised and confident, and, like, it felt like nothing could, like, really bother them.
Yeah, it's an interesting ACC season. I mean, just the way those three teams at the top have responded. But it's also, I got to be honest with you, it's been fun to watch teams like Pitt make that move this year. And Mark talked about it. He was on you guys early in the season just simply because of the experience of McGowan's and Johnson, but also guys like yourself that were going to impact the team. Before we let you go, we don't let anybody from Pitt get through here without talking about the gear. Because I got to be honest with you, the jerseys and the shirts and all the stuff it's pretty clean looking, man. I got to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, last year we won, I think it was Uniform Swag of the Year. So I just feel like we always have, like, good uniforms, good gear. Like, we just come out and show up.
All right, we ask this every student athlete that appears on the show for the first time. What has been the most difficult course you've had so far at Pitt?
I want to say history. I had a history course. I felt like it was probably one of the most difficult courses, but nothing you can't handle, you know?
Slice the pizza, hit the books, you're good to go.
Good to go.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, take care. Good luck, and we look forward to following you the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right. Justin Champagne with us, Pack, and Clemson's at Pittsburgh Wednesday night, 9 o'clock.
I'm hungry just thinking about getting a slice of pizza.
It's a little early.
No, it's not. It's no, never it's too early, Wes.
A little early.
No. You don't know how it works. When you're from New York, pizza for breakfast is part of the deal. What you didn't eat in a box the night before is breakfast the next morning.
All right.
You don't believe a word I just told
you. No, not at all. All right. But nice job by you.
I'm just telling you. You ever lived in New York?
No.
I have.
I know.
Let me tell you something. Pizza for breakfast, cold pizza for breakfast, is a go-to.
There used to be a show on the Family of Networks called Cold Pizza.
I used it once. for our old radio show, Cold Pizza.
The show?
A nickname for a caller.
Was called Cold Pizza?
Yeah. You know why? Because he was the worst caller on our radio show.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Your buddy Fuller's back here, totally spread out.
Sure Chester's is. Out. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Speaking of cold pizza.
Yeah. Everything else good?
We're good. I'm really a little disappointed in you with the cold pizza comment.
I like cold pizza.
Okay.
I'm just not sure I want to eat it at 7 a.m. Right. However, in a quick poll, unscientific poll we took during the break, apparently a widely popular item among our crew.
I tried to explain it to you.
I understand.
But you thought I was over here speaking Chinese.
No. We were talking pizza. I was with you on that. Okay, a couple things. News items. Did you see over the weekend Notre Dame released their kick times?
So Friday afternoon they released that.
Yeah, 5 o'clock news dump on Friday afternoon.
I don't know why they did that, though. I mean, it's a big game. It's going to be a huge game next year in college football.
Clemson-Notre Dame.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a night game. It's going to be awesome. November the 7th, by the way, for the Tigers and the Irish at Notre Dame Stadium. Here are the three Notre Dame home games involving ACC teams. 3:30 and Halloween Saturday for Chase Bryce and Duke. Can we say that?
You can.
November 7th, Clemson, under the lights at Notre Dame Stadium.
Tigers have not been back to South Bend since the late 70s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Give Clemson fans a chance to really enjoy the run-up to the game, too, like Georgia fans did a couple of years ago. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. Clemson fans, I'm going to offer something. I know Clemson and Georgia don't mix on much, Pack, but take a page from your Bulldog brethren, your friends right there across the state line in Athens. They went to South Bend a couple of years ago. Georgia did. Holy cow, they went to South Bend.
A lot of red in the stadium.
Wow.
And a great game.
Yeah, it was. And I would tell Clemson folks, you have that kind of attitude and that kind of approach, it could be a really interesting trip for
you. You don't think they will? I do.
Oh, I think they will. I think Georgia and Clemson are two of the schools in this country that could have a march on South Bend.
Oh, sure. There will be a ton of orange in South Bend. Guaranteed.
You know what else will be in South Bend, too?
Us.
$100. Tell you what's going to be in South Bend.
The $2 bill.
Those right there.
Yep.
Those will be in South Bend. We keep one here on the show handy, right back on the wall, right here in folders, just in case.
If you need some extras, I got three or four plastered up behind me.
Saw that. So anyway, you see that, and then Louisville, of course, is a 2:30 start in November. That could be an interesting game, too. Big game. Could be a very big game. Not as big as the Tigers and
Notre Dame has had great success against ACC football teams with the exception of Clemson.
Yep.
To be honest with you, they've kind of owned them.
Yeah. All right. Now, the weekend passed. The XFL debuted. And I got to tell you, there are a couple things about the XFL that I saw this weekend that I think it'd be pretty smart of college football to get in front of. One of them is the kickoff rule. I like the kickoff rule. Now, what they do is they put 10 guys online within 5 yards of one another. The kicker stands at his 30 and kicks it to the other end. And the minute the guy catches the ball, it's in play. Now, everybody says, well, obviously this is a player safety. No doubt it's player safety. But here's the thing. It's an entertaining play without all the running down the field and the high-end collisions that you're getting, which is a big concern about player safety. Now, come on, Pack. Tell me what you think here.
That's fine. Whatever makes you happy on that.
You like that?
It's okay.
Now, by the way, there were returns that went midfield, plus territory, things like that. Not every return looked like a scrum.
Right. I understand the safety aspect of it and you know the kick returns on the regardless of it's a punt, kickoff, whatever.
Sure.
So I know that they're trying to be creative to lessen the blow, per se. So I get it. I got no problem with that.
Okay. You like that?
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind seeing that in college?
If that's what it is versus where I think we could eventually be, where people just go, hey, we're going to eliminate it entirely. You get the ball at the 25. Let's go.
Would you rather see that?
I would rather see that.
Okay. All right. Now, there are a couple of other things that are in play here. One is review. And I'm going to say this, too. There are a couple of ACC football officials that had assignments in the XFL that I saw this week. I haven't been able to go through all the box scores and look at everything. Jeff Heaser was involved in a game, who's an ACC football referee. And I'm sure there were other, you know, positions. But in terms of referees, I did see Jeff Heaser, who's an ACC football official involved in XFL. When they go to the replay booth, you, the fan, are given an opportunity to hear the breakdown of what they're looking for. Full communication. And I don't know how Drew and Josh felt about this. You didn't see it, but I'm telling you, it was fairly interesting and revealing of the process. And I liked it. I'm not opposed to seeing that in the college game. Now, I'm not sure the college game is interested in bringing that to you.
That's the point. I'm interested in officials being interviewed after a game in a press conference. Hey, you made the call. Tell us what you saw. I don't think that's asking much. Are we going to get that? We're not.
The two reviews, and Josh and Drew may have seen more. I don't know. I saw two reviews, and I thought it was fairly interesting what happened. I mean, I don't know how the Lumberjacks feel about it, but I saw it, and I thought it was, you know what? I can see where that would work in a college game. The other thing I like, too, we'll never get this, because if we do, it'll be priceless. We'll never get it in college football, was the coach being interviewed during the course of the game, after scores and all that. And I thought Tom Luganbill, our friend, and Diana Russini, the game I saw the most of, did a great job with that.
I think there's some coaches in college football that would do that if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
I think the vast majority would not.
Right.
I think the vast majority would rather not even have the obligatory halftime. Hey, coach, what do you have to do in the second half to win the game?
Shake and shove.
If I had a dollar for every time that question is asked for the 2020 season, I would be in Italy this time next year.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, no question. Here's the third little element I wanted to share with you. Involves the extra point. Did you hear about this? There's a line. If you want to go from the 2, you get 1. You want to go from the 5, you get 2. You want to go from the 10, you get 3 points. You could make 9 points total on a touchdown pack. Now, this team here is going for 2, the DC Defenders, by the way.
How'd that play work out?
It didn't go well. This looks like the Dallas Renegades and the Battle Hawks from St. Louis getting after it. So, I mean, it's not a bad idea. That changes little, the math of the game.
That's a little cheesy for me. I got to be honest with you. I'm more of a traditionalist than we're going to just make this a circus show.
So you'd go for the kick. I got you. I got you on the kick.
If you want to go for 1, great. You want to go for 2, fine. But let's not make this stupid.
I got you on the kick, though.
The kick's fine.
All right.
The interviews are fine. The eavesdropping into what in the world's going through an official's head, I'm all for.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem replay with any
booth,
of that stuff.
Replay booth you'd be good with?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. I think
hope the league lasts longer than the Alliance of American Football, which was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. That was such horrific football.
By the way, I thought the football, the parts I saw, it wasn't bad.
That's what I heard.
I mean, it wasn't bad at all. Now, there were some teams. I mean, I think L.A.'s already fired their defensive coordinator.
One game. D.C.'s gone.
Pretty solid.
Solid work.
Pretty solid move there.
I mean, you know, when you're handing out, Steve Spurrier's looking to hand out championship rings for that garbage.
The Orlando Apollos.
That was embarrassing.
He and Coach Neuheisel.
All embarrassing. People who thought that was going to fly. I know people that were on board saying, this is going to be the greatest league. I'm like, dude, it won't make 1 year. It didn't even make, 2 months.
But I got you for the kickoff rule. That's good.
Fine. Yeah, all right. No problem.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.